Good afternoon. It's 12 o'clock on this Tuesday edition of MoneyWeb at Midday. I'm Pranesha Naidu, standing in for Rake Fanikak. On the show today, we ask what the new NAFTA deal means for financial markets and take a closer look at Group 5's results. Joining me for this and more is Viv Govender from Rand Swiss. Viv, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Viv, let's start off with the new US-Mexico-Canada trade accord, essentially an attempt to salvage that NAFTA deal. Global markets certainly rallied on the back of this deal yesterday. Not so much, though, today. What does this deal actually mean for financial markets?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at it. What the deal actually entails, there's a lot of debate about it. I mean, a lot of it comes from political sources. And I know if you're pro-Trump, he won. If you're anti-Trump, he basically just kept NAFTA and changed the name. But I think what it really does do is it sets the tone for what's going forward in that, you know, this is a deal that's been concluded. Yes, there's outstanding issues there, but it does show progress towards, you know, conclusion. And it could be that it indicates that Trump may be willing, you know, to or ready to start making these deals across the board. If that is the scenario, then we could take a lot of risk out of the global market, because one of the biggest things, in fact, the biggest thing that he's probably, you know, doing to the global economy at the moment is this trade issues. We may discuss other things like, you know, for instance, the Supreme Court justice, and there's stuff around like the wall of the border and so on, but that doesn't really affect the economy. It doesn't affect us in South Africa. This stuff with the trade, restrictions, the trade war, does affect us in South Africa. And if he's showing signs that he's willing to basically make these deals and conclude them, it could indicate that we may see deals coming soon with places like China.
That's just what I was going to ask you, because that China-US relationship and the ongoing sanctions between the two are creating a lot of friction.
Oh, yes, most certainly. I mean, this is something that, you know, if depending on how China responds to it, the means that they go about in terms of, like, counteracting the U.S. But it does, you know, by most economists' estimates, could account for, you know, several, you know, tenths of a percent drop in global GDP growth, which is a significant amount of lost growth for the world. It's, you know, talking hundreds of billions of dollars here, like last year. And this is something that I think that we in South Africa are going to be affected by, because if there is a trade war that pushes, for instance, China into a bit of a slow growth phase, it's going to kick back to us on things like, for instance, steel exporters, Chinese investment in Africa, all those things are going to be affected.
You mentioned South Africa being at risk should the US and China not allay their situation. The new NAFTA deal, though, does it have any bearing on South Africa? Do we stand to benefit in any way?
Not immediately, but it does seem to indicate, like I said, that these things are going to be sorted out over time. There's still some contentious issues in that USMCA deal. So you're calling it that now. Mm-hmm. The new NAFTA might be a rule. but basically, what it comes down to is it doesn't really affect us at the moment. What it does do is it gives us hope that, you know, this could be fixed going forward. But there's still outstanding issues, things around steel, etc., which is probably more closely related to what we are dealing with, as opposed to the Canada-US dairy situation, for instance.
Okay. And if we can move to currency markets for now, the Rand, along with other emerging market stocks, taking a bit of pressure this morning. What's going on?
This is about good news being bad news. Good news that we have this deal coming through. That obviously helps the dollar, because it kind of supports the U.S. And because the U.S. currency is getting stronger, then we're seeing, you know, our currency getting a bit weaker. So the fact that we're seeing it slightly weaker against the dollar but slightly stronger against the euro could indicate that it's more a case of, you know, dollars, you know, it's a dollar case as opposed to a rand case in this scenario. Mm-hmm. And again, I'd rather have this, you know, helping us get weaker against the dollar than, for instance, us being stronger because the dollar is weaker due to more trade tensions.
Mm-hmm. There's also, I suppose, quite a bit of pressure coming on the emerging market currencies at the moment because of that surging oil price.
Oh, yes. And this is something I think that, again, I mentioned the trade deal as being one thing that really, Donald Trump really affected the world economy. The oil price situation could also be something, and to some extent, he's also responsible partly for this, for taking the Iranian production off the market effectively, not just the U.S. not buying, but like pressuring places like India and China, et cetera, not to buy as well. And that could be something that I think could also make a huge impact more in emerging markets and developed markets, because of the, you know, the greater percentage that we spend on energy in emerging markets versus in developed markets of our income. That is something I think that is really troublesome. That being said, if oil prices remain here for long enough, we could see, you know, in the long term, something happening with regards to more exploration. And that's been a bit of an issue. Oil prices have been so low for so long that exploration really has come down significantly, and new reserves haven't been found quickly enough. And hopefully this might just alleviate the long-term situation, even though there's short-term pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly something we're going to watch out for. Also on markets this afternoon, or at least at last count, ASEAN Top 40 quite firmly in the red. What's weighing on them?
Well, I do think, you know, Twillis, at the moment, we do have a situation where, you know, tensions are higher right now. And obviously, we had some really disappointing economic news coming out over the last little while. And, like, again, we did have a bit of positivity yesterday. So the growth concerns in Africa are really, I think, worrying us right now. I mean, we've, to a certain extent, underperformed global markets for quite some time, not just the GSP, but our market as well, our economy as well. And despite the hope that we saw at the start of at the start of the year, we are seeing some concerns coming through with regards to, you know, the growth in the prospects in South Africa. Also, I think there's been a report out there about, you know, the global economy. The IMF has come out and said that global growth might have plateaued at the moment. I mean, despite the U.S. doing as well as it is, doing 4.2% I think in the last quarter, that kind of thing does disappoint, you know, global markets as well.
Also sparking some concern was that comment from the National Planning Commission that South Africa may have to go to the IMF if it doesn't sort the situation around out.
Yeah, and look, the IMF is like going to one of those like medieval doctors. You know, they come with leeches and bloodletting and stuff. And often I have the belief that they cause more damage than they try and cure. But the reason it goes is because they have those big purses that can get you out of short-term trouble. So the last thing we want to do in South Africa is go to the IMF, because the history of countries that have been, in inverted commas, helped by the IMF is not exactly great.
Well, Viv, not much on the company's front this morning, though, but we did have Group 5 who reported a full-year loss of 1.3 billion rands. Just what are you making of these results?
The market is treating it quite positively at the moment. We had a significant jump up in the share price. It's up about 15.5% at the moment. But, I mean, if you look at the share price over the last 5 years, I mean, it's currently sitting at around 10. It was like in excess of 40 rand, you know, 5 years ago, in excess of, you know, 12 rand, you know, just about a year or so ago. So this is obviously a big turnaround story. I think one of the positive things the market's taking out is the change of leadership, which is obviously something I think that, you know, we've seen that, like the Forbes, for instance, when leadership changes or trouble to a company, there is an initial positivity that's been seen by the market.
But just what is it going to take to turn that company around, barring a change of leadership?
A change of economy, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, something like Group 5 is very dependent on, like, demand in, you know, in the economy. You know, when people want to build something, you know, when you want to actually have, you know, more construction, more infrastructure and that kind of stuff happening in the economy, then these things make profit. In times like this, where the economy is weak, you'll often find a construction company which is building something incredibly complicated and incredibly difficult to build, getting less margin than a grocery shop gets from putting stuff on a truck onto a shelf. The margins on these grocery shops are higher than in some of the construction companies' projects out there, just because of the fact that during these times when things are weak, they're actually out there trying to, you know, just survive. And we need to see the economy grow faster in order to get, you know, the overall construction sector looking better.
And finally, Viv, there was a report out yesterday that MTN might scrap its Nigeria listing. Prudent move given its recent troubles in that country?
Yeah, I think the recent troubles are one of the reasons that especially the change in the price of the share, is one of the things that is you know, really affecting this idea of having an IPO and trying to raise funds in Nigeria. Because if you sell shares at this particular each time in, you know, the market, you're going to get a far lower price than you probably think is the fair value for those shares, you know what I mean? So this is obviously a troublesome, you know, issue, not just the fact that, of course, I mean, people are talking about the idea that Nigeria is a bad place to do business for MTN. I think MTN, you know, leadership still thinks Nigeria is quite, you know, an attractive place. I mean, I think the stats are, it's Africa's most populous country, you know, it's bigger than, you know, any other country in Africa. And there's only a third of people in the country have access to the internet. So there's a huge growth market possible in Nigeria. So it's something that MTN probably can't let go of. But I think right now, trying to lift shares, trying to sell shares for capital doesn't make sense given the deflated share price.
But it did say that it was going to explore alternative methods of raising funds in that market, and one of them would be listing by introduction.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, this is like slightly different here than actually going out and just trying to, it's not trying to raise capital. It needs to list basically because it has this, agreement in terms of the deal it made around that that RICA kind of like a the fine that it had before. Mm-hmm. In order to reduce things, it basically has reduced that fine, so it has to live up to the other part of the deal. Part of the deal was basically listing in Nigeria. One of the ways to do it is listing by introduction as opposed to just the sale here. It's a bit easier in terms of the marketing and so on. So effectively, you aren't losing because you aren't basically selling these shares at a new price out there, and selling the shares at a time when you're having a really really weak share price that might be very temporary.
Well, Viv, that's where we're going to leave it for today. Viv Govender from Rand Swiss, thank you for joining us.